Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be saved. It's good to be a child of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Philippians. In my personal study, I've been studying the book of Philippians. I've been reading through my Bible, and the Lord led me to park here. And I've been studying Philippians for a couple weeks now. Philippians is broken up into four chapters. Chapter 1 is divided into two parts. First half of the chapter, he tells us that there's joy in prayer. The second half of chapter 1 is there's joy in suffering. Chapter 2 is broken up into three parts. There's joy in being humble. There's joy in obedience, and there's joy in good company. Chapter 3 is all about the joy of looking forward. Chapter 4 is broken up into two parts. There's joy in focusing, and there's joy in giving. So y'all probably have an idea that this sermon is about joy in some way. But we're going to focus on the first point in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, the joy of prayer. One of the ironic things about Philippians is the book of joy. It was written while Paul was in prison. While he was yet in prison, he can still have joy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you use this message now for your benefit. I pray that they could be good ground, that your word may bear fruit in their lives. In Jesus' name, use this message. Amen and amen. I'm going to set my water down right here. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, which with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. For what? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Let's focus on that word fellowship for a minute. A lot of people today, we've kind of in our culture abused the word fellowship today. We often think of people shaking hands, patting each other on the back, talking, catching up, talking to each other. But the Bible meaning of fellowship in this context is mutual agreement. So he is praying with joy, making requests for their fellowship or mutual agreement in the gospel. He's praying for their establishment in the gospel. Understand this, that the Philippian church is one of the Macedonian churches. The Philippian church and the Thessalonian church are Macedonian churches. And if you notice in the writings of Paul that there's little to no rebuke on the Macedonian churches. So these churches, they were strong. They had a great start. They had a great doctrinal foundation. And he's saying, I'm praying for that continuance, that fellowship in the gospel to continue. But Paul was worried about false teachers creeping in. In chapter 3, verse 2, he warns them, saying, beware of dogs. Chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, beware of dogs, evil workers. Beware of the concision. So he was concerned about false teachers creeping in. But Paul was in prison. He couldn't go there and stop them. He was in jail. He couldn't go over there and correct bad doctrine if it popped up in the church. This was a concern for him. But instead of letting that concern fester in his life, instead of letting that worry fester and defeating him spiritually, he goes to the throne of grace. Chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. He practices what he preaches, because there is joy in prayer. So Paul approaches the throne of grace and he understands the promises of Christ. He understands the promises of Jesus Christ. Whenever Peter came to Jesus Christ and he made his profession of faith, the Lord said, upon this rock, that is his profession of faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And so Paul knew that the gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's church, and he knew that the gates of hell will not prevail against the Philippian church. So he can approach the throne of grace with confidence and with joy. Notice the confidence that he has in chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. That is eternal security, if I have ever seen eternal security. On an individual level, this is eternal security. The good work that he started in you, that is your salvation. He will perform it until the day of Christ. That is the rapture. You are saved forever if you are a child of God. But on a corporate level, this is talking about the perseverance of the church. He begun a good work in this church. They had a strong foundation. They had good doctrine preached in their church. And he's saying that it will continue all the way up until the day of Christ. And so he takes joy in praying for the church's fellowship in the gospel. Take comfort in this, that there are people praying for this church, that this church will always be a gospel preaching church. And whenever you pray for this church, I can assure you that God hears your prayer. We can take joy in prayer. The second point is there's joy in prayer for the sanctification of the church. Let's read on, starting in verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Watch this. This I pray, that your love may abound or continue yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. This is sanctification, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness that which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So he is praying for their growth and knowledge in Jesus Christ. He's praying for their faithfulness to continue. He's praying for their sanctification. Chapter 2, verse 15, he tells them furthermore, he says, that ye may be blameless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world. So he's praying for them to be the lights of the world so that others can see this light and say, I want that light in me. I want Jesus Christ as my Savior too. So if he's praying for their sanctification, so that they can lead others to Christ. One couple that I remember back whenever my wife and I were living in Mississippi, there was a couple that came forward and got saved at the church that we were going to at the time. And not long after they got saved, people were praying for them. Don't just stop praying for somebody after they get saved. Their journey just started. Pray for their sanctification. Pray for their growth in Christ. And people got around this couple, and they were praying for this couple. They were alcoholics, and they were not married yet. They were living together. Not long after they got saved, they decided to get sober. Amen. Not long after they got sober, they got married. They couldn't live in sin no more. God was dealing with them and giving them that hunger for holiness. And so the Lord was leading them each step at a time. And let me tell you, people were praying for their growth and knowledge in Christ. People were praying for their sanctification. And I got to say, it was a joy praying for those people. And it was an answer to prayer every Sunday to see that couple there. Not long after that couple had gotten married, they started... The husband invited his brother to church and his wife. So his brother and his brother's wife started coming to church, and they got saved. They got saved. And then not long after his brother got saved, their daddy started going to church. Oh, man. Their daddy was a backslidden preacher. He was in the ministry for years, And he got discouraged because his boys grew up lost, and so he threw in the towel, he put his Bible down, got out of ministry, and got discouraged. And now that his boys got saved, he got back in church, and the prodigal son come home. Amen. So people prayed for this couple. It's joy in praying for the sanctification of the church, because it's an answer to prayer to see what God does in a new convert's life. It's a joy in prayer to pray for the growth of a new believer. The third point is there's joy in the glorification of the church. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 6. There's a word that pops up in this verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Watch that. The day of Jesus Christ, look at verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense until the, there's that phrase again, the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that there is joy in praying for the glorification of the church. The day of Jesus Christ, the blessed hope of the church, the rapture. There is joy. How many times have you heard a preacher or a Christian say, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. There is joy in praying for the glorification of the church, the rapture. Understand this, that the human is made up of three things, body, soul, and spirit. And whenever a person dies in this dispensation, their soul and spirit goes up to heaven, but their body is laid in a grave. And then whenever the trumpet sounds and the rapture happens, the body comes up out of the grave and to be united with soul and spirit. And whenever the trumpet sounds, we will be united in the presence of God, not just body and soul, but also spirit as well. Spirit and soul and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says this, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That will be me and you, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a joy it will be whenever we get to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, body, soul, and spirit. And I'm here to tell you that there is joy in praying for the glorification of the church and saying, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 42, he's talking about the rapture. So also is the resurrection of the dead, the rapture. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a supernatural body. There's a natural body and a spiritual body. Most of us in here today have lived long enough to bury an elder relative. Most of us have lived in here long enough to bury an elder relative. And I think of my great-grandmother. I remember seeing pictures of her. She was a beautiful, beautiful lady. But whenever she died, she was maybe 80 pounds soaking wet. She had dementia. She didn't look like herself. Going to her funeral, she didn't even look like the same person. Her body was sown in corruption. But one day that trumpet's going to sound, and she's going to pop up out of that grave looking like a teenager once again. It's joy in praying for the glorification of the church, to be in the presence of Jesus Christ, body, soul, and spirit. Most of us are tired of the flesh. Most of us are tired of the curse of the flesh. Whenever we sin, it breaks our heart just like it breaks God's heart. Whenever we fall, whenever we stumble, that shame we feel, aren't you tired of it? The pain we feel whenever a joint or anything hurts, that's the old flesh. That's the natural body. But one day, bless God, we're going to get a new body. We're going to get a glorified body that won't hurt no more, that won't sin no more, that won't hurt us no more. The curse of sin will be gone completely Whenever I close my eyes and say, even so come, Lord Jesus, come, my mind often goes to a boy that grew up in a wheelchair. He lived in Greenville, Alabama, not far from where I grew up. He was a sweet young man, and everybody loved him. He grew up in a wheelchair. He had all kinds of health problems. He couldn't participate in the playground with all the other kids. He couldn't play sports with all the other kids. A year or two ago, he died. And one day, the trumpet's going to sound. And he's coming up out of that grave. And he ain't going to be in a wheelchair. He ain't going to be in a wheelchair. There's joy in praying for the glorification of the church. There's joy in praying for others. Paul was in prison, and he's saying, I'm making requests with joy for them. He's in prison, and he can look past his circumstances and pray for others that aren't even in prison. Sometimes it's good. It's a joy to look past our situation and pray for somebody else. Turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And this is such an intimate message that Jesus Christ, he was praying for me and you before going to the cross. John chapter 17, we'll begin reading in verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that's Judas Iscariot, that the scripture may be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He's praying for their protection. That thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There he is praying for the sanctification of the church. Thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, watch this, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me and you. Before Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross for our sins, he said a special prayer for me and you. It's joy in praying for others. But it's nothing wrong with praying for your own personal needs. We all have personal needs. I have burdens that I pray for every day. I have problems that I have to give to God daily. And every one of us here does too. There's joy also in personal prayer, because there's joy in knowing that God hears and understands prayer. What if I don't have words to describe the pain I'm in? What if I can't produce words that if I can't describe the pain that I'm in? I've been there before. I thought that God couldn't hear me, but I'm here to tell you, He heard me. I went through depression. I was in the deepest pit of depression that a person could ever go through. I don't even know what caused the depression. I just woke up one day and there was like a big black cloud over me. And I went through this for months. I would go out to my shed and my prayers would be a jumbled up mess, and I would sometimes wonder, God, do you even hear me? Are you even here? And I was a Christian going through this. But I'm here to tell you, He was right there with me every step of the way. There was sometimes I would go in there and I wouldn't have words to say. I'd just get in my shed and I'd get on my knees and I wouldn't have any words to describe the pain. I would just cry. I didn't know what to say. But I'm here to tell you that God understood my heart. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And this is how he understands us. He's an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. We certainly don't. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. The Holy Spirit's praying for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Look down to verse 34. This is Christ interceding for us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You have the Holy Spirit praying and interceding for you. You have Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father praying and interceding for you. You have the whole Trinity on your side. Amen. Who can be against us? There is joy in knowing that God hears and understands our prayer. My little brother, he's 2 years younger than me, and he has kids. He had kids before I had kids. And I remember looking down at my nephew, and he was learning how to talk, and his speech was a jumbled up mess, and he'd be mumbling a bunch of stuff, and I'd be thinking, good night, what's this youngin saying? And my brother could understand every word he was saying. I'm like, did you teach him that language? He said, when you have kids, you'll understand. I got a little girl. She's learning how to talk. Her speech is not perfect, and I can understand her. Why? Because she's my child. I've watched her. I pay attention to her. Whenever she tells me, whenever she looks at me and says, get down, I know she's saying, get down. She likes saying that for some reason when she wants my attention. I understand her, and God understands us that way too. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He knows us just like a father knows his children. The Lord Jesus Christ invited them and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That sounds like easy access. The throne of grace is open to anyone for whosoever. And there is joy in prayer. There's joy to come to Christ and give your burdens to the Lord. Amen. And we're left with a choice today. We can either give our burdens to the Lord, or we can just carry them and let them weigh us down until we're totally defeated. A Christian that does not pray is a Christian that worries is a Christian that does not pray, at least like he should. Why worry whenever we can give our burdens to the Lord? Give it to the Lord and leave it with him. Amen. Give it to the Lord and leave it with him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I've given them the word that you've laid upon my heart, and I pray that it falls on good ground, and I pray that you are, that no one here leaves here with a burden on their heart, that they can give you their burdens, and that they can leave here with peace. Every head bowed and all eyes closed, are you in here with a burden? Are you in here that something stealing your peace? Is something stealing your joy? Well, the book of Philippians is all about joy. And you can give your burden to the Lord with joy through prayer. We're about to have an altar call, and you can come to the altar or you can pray in your seat. But all I ask is, give your burden to the Lord and leave it there. All right, we're going to have a song service during the invitation. And y'all move as the Lord leads.